LNB's audio diary for the 22nd of January, 2024. It is a Monday and it's about 4:15 in the afternoon. I am on my way to the dump and then I'm gonna run to the dollar store that's nearby and get some stuff, just a few things here and there. But I want to get to, it's 4:15. They close at 5. I got to get to the dump. So let's see. What have I been up to? Well, I have been working on, the book, getting, not only working on the chapters and polishing and, you know, the usual there. Oof. That's just stuff shifting. I've been working on the structure, because there are some things I was working, it's like, it still doesn't make any sense, that doesn't make any sense, but this would make a little more sense, so, it's little stuff like that, you know, I'm working on it, and so far, I'm happy with the progress, so far, we'll see. Let's see, what else? I've also been working on the role-playing game. Just getting some rules. I worked on rules for hand-to-hand combat. I've expanded that. So now hand-to-hand combat as a skill in Star Drifter is a very useful skill. You can do attacks to kill, lethal damage. That's the usual attack, right? The regular attack. You're doing actual lethal damage when you hit, but if you hit hard enough, you have a chance of stunning the person. That's normal. But also, I've expanded it, and now there is a roll to stun. You state at the beginning, I'm gonna roll this, you know, I'm gonna attempt to stun him. So if you hit, you don't do any damage, but they have to roll to, they have to roll versus stun if you hit. And then finally, there's a hold, right? So you can get him into an arm lock, you can pin him somehow, you can, you know, you can do all sorts of stuff. So including when you have them in a hold, they can't move. They get a chance to save to try to get out of it. But they, if they don't get out of it, they're held for that round. They get another chance to save next round, but it's at -1, meaning you've had time to really get them in, you know, in a good position. And that goes on and on and on, and it keeps dropping. Their chances of getting out of it get worse and worse the longer it goes on. Now, when they're pinned, they can't move unless you want them to. In other words, you can use a pin, not on the floor, you can use it standing up, and now you got them in an arm lock and you're giving them the bum's rush out the door. And it's a cool thing. And by doing this, combat hand-to-hand suddenly becomes the most versatile combat skill in the game. Okay, hold on. Okay, that was the dump. So yeah, combat hand-to-hand is now the most versatile combat skill in the game, as I think it should be. No, it doesn't do anywhere near as much damage as, you know, if you're using a weapon, but that's also the way it should be. There is a defining characteristic that I think it's called fierceness, something like that, where you get extra damage in combat. Doesn't matter what you do. As it stands, I don't give extra points on combat hand-to-hand for some of the other. There's another defining characteristic of strength or being strong. And there's also the skill of athleticism, which arguably both of those should add points to any damage you're doing when you're attacking. But, you know, from a game balance standpoint, you start, you know, adding a point here, a point there for something like combat hand-to-hand, and then suddenly it's as deadly, if not more, than, you know, than it is with, you know, to fight with pistols and stuff. Maybe it should be. Maybe I should do that, because if you if you tailor your skills just right, and and you get the right defining characteristic, which in the game, you can choose what it is, assuming your game master allows it. You can choose what defining characteristic you get. So if you chose, if I were to do this, if I were to add a point for being strong, and add a point for the athleticism skill, if you got both of those, not strong, you get 2 points for strong and a point for athleticism, maybe, or 2 points, I don't know, something like that. Now suddenly, you're doing a lot of damage, right? Because normally in a fight, if you're doing lethal damage, it's 1d4 plus 2 for damage. But if you add 2 points for strength, that's 1d4 plus 4, right? And if you add another point for athleticism, that's 1d4 plus 5. So you're running from 6 to 9 points of damage per attack. So your minimum is 6 points. I mean, that's crazy. So that might be something to avoid, or it might be something to embrace, because that allows someone to essentially create like a professional martial artist, like a pro boxer, could do that kind of damage to an ordinary person with their fists. You know, someone like that, or someone trained in other types of martial arts, they can kill you with their fists, you know? They can kill you with their bare hands. So I think that's entirely possible, especially if they drop 8 to 9 points in one shot. Ordinary NPCs, that's all the points they've got. That you could kill someone with a single punch, which does happen in real life, you know? So that might be a way to go. I might do that. The character that has chosen all those skills and has chosen to make themselves into that kind of character, now you have someone who is, you know, a big, burly, buff fighter type person. You know, they're deadly hand-to-hand, and, you know, they can always get a skill for a weapon of some sort as well. And then you put that person in armor, and they're extremely fearsome. Extremely fearsome. You know, if they, because they're walking in to the game with those points, if they chose their skills and the defining characteristic properly, they're walking in doing that kind of damage with their fists. But then as the game progresses, they can pump points into their skill, and now they're hitting more often, right? Now the chances of hitting go up and up and up, you know? They can pump points into their hit points and their stamina, and they can take a bunch of hits. You know, they can put points into their saves, so if they get punched, like, you know, and possibly stunned, they save much more often. They save against the stun much more often. And over time, you can end up with someone who's extremely good hand-to-hand in this game. Yeah, I like that. I think I'm going to go in that direction. At least play with it. Because I think that's a pretty good way to do things. I think. So yeah, that's one direction to go in. I don't know. I've been messing with stuff like that. I've been doing other little tweaks here and there. I don't know. When I was at the laundromat today, because our washer is still broken, I saw a business card up on. They have a bulletin board there, and there's our corkboard, and there was a business card up there. I assume for someone local, you know, or maybe it was someone just passing through, but, and this person is an editor, professional editor, and their website was good. I looked it up, and, you know, it's a good song and dance. Let's put it that way. It's a good song and dance. I have no proof either way, one way or the other, of whether or not it's something that I'd be happy with, right? But the biggest problem is money, right? I don't make the kind of money off of my writing that can justify spending the kind of money that a professional editor requires, and they're charging professional editor prices. A good deal, nowhere near as much as some, but it is commensurate with the kind of services they're offering. So it doesn't seem off at all. In other words, I'm really, really interested. I just can't afford it, right? And they offer a sample to see if you like what they do and if they like your writing and can work with you. You can do a free sample, send them like 1,200 words or something like that, 2,000. And they can go through it and show you the kind of service that they do on a small sample anyway. And you can make your decision from there. And I thought for a moment that that it would be worth it, except it would be a waste of their time and mine preparing something because I can't afford it. You know, if they say, yeah, this looks good, we can work together. Because, you know, it's a collaboration. I can't afford it. So there's no point. You know, there's no point. So that was a little disappointing, but it also gives me a fire to do something else. And hold on, I'll be right back. Okay, that was the dollar store. We have to get some cat litter. I know I did the cat litter, the cat boxes before I went to the dump, so that could go. But only illustrated that we are out. So I've got some now. I don't necessarily like getting this kind because it's all perfumey and stuff, and I don't care for that. I usually get the kind without a scent. Anywho, you don't care. Why would you care? So I've been working on the role-playing game and the book, and I'm wondering if I can... All right, let's put the role-playing game aside for a while, because that's kind of a special case, right? That's kind of a special case when it comes to selling, right? Because when that's done, and, when it's done, I mean when we're up to version 1.0.0 or 1.00.00, whichever. When that's ready to be released in a finished form, that will just go on probably DriveThruRPG and I don't know where else, for a pay as you like, pay what you like. And if you don't want to pay nothing, you don't have to pay anything. You think it's worth something, you throw a couple bucks. That's the way that would work. And I think that it would be nothing, it's not money you could really readily count on for anything. It would just be, if anyone buys it, they buy it. If they don't, they don't. Okay, so that's done, right? Or that will be done at some point. But what I'd prefer to do right now, in the short term, is possibly look into BookBub ads, right? I know, advertising and such, but BookBub is its own animal, right? Most people listening to this are already familiar with it. Otherwise, you go, you sign up for BookBub, and every day or every week, I guess you can set how often you get emails. You get emails about new books that are in a specific genre or set of genres that you might be interested. So if you're looking for ebooks, and these are specifically ebooks, if you're looking for ebooks, cheap ones, inexpensive indie ebooks by, some of them are really great authors, some are not, and not all of these are indie. Not all of these are necessarily indie, but it is the biggest outlet in the world on that. It's all done, it's digital, but it's the biggest one. They rival Amazon with the kind of numbers that they do. So BookBub also offers paid ads and runs differently than anybody else. But pretty much every indie author who is making not even a living, but every indie author seems to agree that BookBub is indispensable for indie authors. So I've been thinking about that, and it's entirely self-serve. You go in and, you do it yourself, and you don't have to deal with people or anything like that. And you set it up to run as long as you want, as often as you want. It just depends on how much money you throw at it. And it might be worth it. It might be worth it to put something, you can put any books you want up at all, right? So it might be worth it to try out Street Candles, see if anybody likes it, right? You can't do anything that you're already offering for free somewhere else or some kind of special discount somewhere else. And I have Motherload up for free on most sites except for Amazon. For whatever reason, Amazon never matched it, even though I told them specifically that you can match it. But nope, it's still, I don't know what price it is, $2.99, $1.99, something like that, at Amazon. So if you're looking to read Motherload or buy a copy of Motherload, don't go to Amazon. Go almost anywhere else, and you'll get it for free. So I can't do that, but I can do the other books, and it might be worth it just to test the waters. I've never done any kind of advertising in the past, and this is about the lowest barrier to entry that I could hope for, and I think that's the way to go for me. I'm going to try it, and if I sell some, a couple of books here and there, that'd be great. If I don't, well, then I don't, but it's worth a try, right? It's worth a try. So I'm going to look at it, and I'm going to see how much money it is. They have all the all sorts of articles and how-tos and videos on how to use their ad system. And it seems so complicated and intimidating and boring. But what the hell? Try to wrap my head around that and see if it's still something that I think is worth pursuing. I've looked at it several times in the past, and I've always just walked away shaking my head. It just seems impenetrable to me. Even though they've made it as simple as they possibly can, really. But it still throws me. But I'm gonna look at it and see if it looks like it makes any sense, then I will pursue it. If it doesn't, then I won't. So that's it. Anyway, I guess that's everything going on with me right now. I can't think if there's anything right now that's happening that's going to be pressing. No, I don't think so. All right, so I guess that's it, because I am home.